The death of Chapter Master Ortis of the Red Scorpions had an immediate effect on the strategic initiative of the Badab War. With the Loyalists reeling and attempting to regroup, the Secessionists stepped up their raids on Imperial shipping. This, in turn, led to the deployment of significant Astartes escort flotillas to man the crucial transit corridor between Chimera and Galen, but otherwise meant that the Pale Stars were now rendered almost entirely cut off, save for those starship captains zealous or foolish enough to attempt the run unescorted. This status quo was maintained until reinforcements arrived in the local volume. The Nova Marines, the Howling Griffins, and Sons of Medusa chapters all dispatched contingents to join the war. The Red Scorpions conducted a succession ritual with all possible haste, naming Karab Kuln as their new chapter master, and thus the new Magister Militum of the Imperial forces in the Maelstrom Zone. Kuln's first initiative was to seize and convert the essentially abandoned mining planet of Hallow's Point into a forward staging area. The newly forged Vengeance Station was to become operational within a Terran standard year. However, even before its formal renaming, Loyalist forces moved to retake offensive momentum. The rank and file of the Red Scorpions, eager to say to their desire for vengeance, were effusive in their wish to make war on the Secessionists, but they had their ire tempered by both Kuln and the chapter's chief librarian, Severin Loth. Both these Astartes were united in their goal of a bloody, but careful, reprisal. The new Lord Commander was a figure of great repute, with a storied career to his name. Karab Kuln had fought on such battlefields as the infamous Siege of Rax and Beta Anfelion during the doom brought about by that world's eponymous project. His appointment received acclaim from the gathered Loyalist chapters, although it was by no means an assured succession, even with the nominal approval of the now-deceased Verrant Ortis. Kuln had the favor of the Salamanders and the Raptors, the two forces having significant weight in Astartes politicking, and had swung the favor of the Fire Angels and the Nova Marines through an impassioned speech, wherein Kuln declared his right to vengeance for the betrayals that the Red Scorpions had suffered at the hands of the brutal Secessionists. The Marines Errant and the Sons of Medusa played no part in the Magister Militum's election, abstaining from political maneuvering, leaving the only opposition to Kuln coming from the Firehawks chapter master, Stibor Lazarek, who had himself demanded rights to leadership for the sake of his own vengeance. Lazarek's frothing rant before the assembled commanders was ultimately silenced by the dark figure of Inquisitorial Legate Frayne, who reminded the Astartes that the battle they were engaged in was one fought for the Emperor's justice, not petty personal ambitions. Shaming Lazarek and endorsing Kuln simultaneously, Legate Frayne dictated the beginning of the new Lord Commander's tenure quite clearly. Loyalists were to waste no time in prosecuting the Secessionists to the full extent of Imperial judgment. The final months of 906 M41 saw the Red Scorpions fight in dozens of void battles, between their roles as convoy defenders and offensive raids against Secessionist outposts. Alongside the Raptors, the Scorpions succeeded in putting a stop to the majority of Secessionist raiding for the first time in many months, with Huron now forced to withdraw his piratical forces lest they be winnowed too heavily by the resurgent Imperials. Simultaneously, the Sons of Medusa were dispatched alongside the Nova Marines to probe the Endymion Cluster and the Sagan system. Karab Kuln was wielding his subordinate forces to place as much pressure on the Secessionists from as many angles as possible. outposts were established in the Chimera system that permitted sustained operations in the nearby and hotly contested Gargathia system, a seemingly minor but nevertheless crucial gain for the Loyalists. The poison swamps of Gargathia III rapidly became ground for some of the war's most intense fighting yet. The Mantis Warriors and the Astral Claws savagely held against the attacking Raptors, Fire Angels, and Salamanders. Neither side was willing to heavily invest in an open engagement. Guerrilla tactics ruled, a facet of warfare beloved by the Raptors, meaning battle lines were extremely fluid. The world had nothing in the way of cities or settlements. The few Explorator bases that remained were changing hands almost daily. It was not until quite later, in 907 M41, that the Loyalists finally succeeded in routing the Secessionists from Gargathia III, a feat one imagines was largely contributed to by the successes of the Raptors chapter. Having been rotated out of active battle engagements by the arrival of Imperial reinforcements, the Marines errant were assigned to reserve duty for the latter months of 906 M41 before fully withdrawing from the Badab War with no small degree of acrimony the following year. The Firehawks, sorely depleted from the casualties they had sustained and increasingly embittered by their perceived lack of vengeance, were forcibly retired into the reserves by Lord Commander Cullen. The Red Scorpion, having decided the chapter's bellicosity, had reached the point of being corrosive to both morale and operational efficacy. Happily for the Loyalists, this nominal retirement placed the Firehawk's star fortress, Raptorus Rex, in orbit around Hallow's Point, just at the right time to ward off a traitor assault on the construction of Vengeance Station. The raid, which took place on 810-906-M41, was led by three strike cruisers of the Lamenters, as well as a flotilla of secessionist fireships and battle frigates, all descending upon Hallow's Point to stymie the construction of, or destroy outright, the base that the Loyalists were building. The otherwise well-planned and executed attack would likely have succeeded were it not for the presence and firepower of the Raptorus Rex and the Red Scorpion's battle barge, Sword of Ordon. Minimal damage was incurred to the base and its anchorage, while the secessionists lost the Lamenter's strike cruiser, Inflexible. The vessel, rammed by the Firehawk's destroyer Ravage during the battle, effected an escape from the volume, only for the damage to force it out of the warp near Haruko, the Forbidden Star. All contact was subsequently lost, and the ship vanished from all Auspex sweeps without a trace. It has historically been presumed lost with all hands, although the cause has never been established. The rate of reinforcements and missives delivered to Cullen by the Adeptus Terra, promising the involvement of yet more Astartes chapters, appeared to be tipping the scales of the war in favor of the Imperial faction. The Lord Commander was highly aware that now of all times was the hour to press the advantage. All available intelligence spoke to the secessionists having drawn themselves into defensive positions to consolidate their holdings. If given enough time to dig in, the war for the Maelstrom Zone risked descending into one of base attrition, a conflict ill-suited for the Adeptus Astartes, and one that risked plunging the Imperium into a war that would take decades, if not centuries, to properly extinguish. Offensive moves were not without risk. The Imperial numerical advantage appeared to be a slim one, and the secessionists were, of course, still fighting on their home territory. Cullen nevertheless resolved to move his Astartes forces to an offensive footing, the first major objective being the relief of the fortress world of Surengrad. For years, the southern continental citadels of the planet had resisted Huron's forces, through sheer bloody-minded resolve and their faith in the God Emperor's deliverance. This was not a situation that could last eternally, and Cern Grad was approaching its breaking point. Cullen dispatched the Salamanders and Raptors chapters to intercede. Formed around the battle barges War Talon and Pyre of Glory, this force was equipped for a long-range strike, one that would put the Astartes deep behind current secessionist battle lines. Immediately, the challenge proved a stern one. The arrival in-system did not allow the battle barges to effect a ground landing of their forces, and the ships and their escorts were forced to withdraw in face of secessionist opposition, with the War Talon suffering heavy damage in the process. Undeterred, the Raptors made contact with Imperial loyalists on the ground, formatting an approach the strike force came to dub Operation Sedna. With diversionary attacks launched on the planet's equatorial zone, the Raptors ended up successfully landing a covert strike force with modified field armor some 300 kilometers from their actual target. With their vehicles modified for speed and subterfuge, the Raptors enabled additional stealth features, including Auspex bafflers and thermal obfuscators, before subdividing and advancing on secessionist emplacements. Given the distance and the landscape, an extremely harsh climate of pack ice and frozen tundra, this advance in force took several weeks, but because of the extremely unorthodox approach vector, remained wholly undetected. Under further cover provided by a massive blizzard, the Raptors assaulted the planet's main orbital defense complex that had denied their starships purchase in orbit, breaching the walls with meltabombs and laying into the astral claws within. Resistance to the attack was bitter, although surprised the claws were still Astartes, and had an advantage in numbers. The secessionists reaped a fearsome tally of Raptors' battle brothers, but the loyalist incursion was ultimately successful. The sabotage of the complex, allowing the Imperial flotilla above to move into bombardment range and punish secessionist ground forces into an acrimonious surrender. With Cern Grad returned to the Imperium, the Forge Fathers of the Salamanders were given the task of rebuilding its fortifications with all haste, undoing years of internecine fighting as soon as could be managed. Imperial morale was buoyed by the victory. Not only had the faith of the defenders been ultimately proven correct, a significant loyalist wedge had been driven into the secessionist lines, bringing with it the hope of a full breakthrough towards core Maelstrom Zone systems before too long. This jubilation, however, was to be proven short-lived. The beginning of 907 M41 was marked not by the recapture of Cern Grad, or the establishment of Vengeance Station, but by a disastrous defeat for the Loyalists. The secessionists received reinforcements of a sort. The Executioner's chapter, Uneasy Allies to Huron, had arrived once more in the Maelstrom Zone. The bulk of their forces aboard a captured rogue trader flagship and prize of war, known as the Night Hag. Ultimately, this force set upon the planet Chimera and its garrison of Howling Griffin's Astartes. Wholly overwhelmed by the speed of the Executioner's attack and their sheer numerical advantage, the Howling Griffins were eviscerated. Their tenacious defense a doomed thing in the face of the attackers. One by one, their bastions fell. The night moons of the system, home to astropathic relays vital to the Imperial war effort, were all obliterated by the executioners in a damning move against Imperial advances. Interestingly, the chapter spared the Howling Griffins from total annihilation, even though, by the admission of the Griffins themselves, they could easily have left no survivors whatsoever. Their objectives achieved and the Loyalists sorely punished, the Executioners withdrew from Chimera, a move that is recorded to have greatly angered Huron, at least privately. The Tyrant of Badab, just like the Imperials, could find no reason for the Executioners having stayed their hands and leaving survivors. But Huron was well aware that his relationship with the High Chaplain of the Executioners, Thulsa Kane, was on as thin a sheen of ice as was possible. The two chapters were still considered allies, thus Huron demurred, welcoming the executioners into the secessionist fold once again, but warily so. The Howling Griffins, meanwhile, had endured a near total loss. Their strike cruiser, Orgeas, had to be scuttled as a useless hulk in the wake of this invasion, and the loss of the revered chaplain Dreadnought Titus gravely injured the chapter's pride and morale. The Howling Griffins resolved to remain within the conflict, although their commitments from then on would have to be minimal. It should come as no surprise to students of Imperial military history that at such a time of fraught internal instability within an Imperium-claimed volume, the enemies of humanity sought quickly to capitalize on the distractions of their opponents. There were many opportunities that the secession crisis had precipitated. Piratical forces and Xenos raiders within the turbulent reaches of the Maelstrom Zone saw dramatic gains during the early years of the conflict, and a steady upsurge in violence from these forces had peaked in 907 M41. Imperial propagandists were quick to use these attacks as further fuel to denigrate the tyrant of Bedab for his negligence and incompetence, blaming the Astral Claws for having failed to deal with these factions prior to the war, and heaping scorn upon them for the resultant chaos unleashed upon loyal Imperial populations. In the interest of historical accuracy, where such can be considered possible in our present regime, this is simply not the case. It appears from all recovered accounts that one has been privy to that, hemmed in by the Maelstrom itself on one flank and advancing loyalists on the other, secessionist forces and systems suffered the most from this upsurge in raiding. The most notable example were those factions of the orcs dubbed the Gore Chompas, a rabble that emerged from the Xenos-infected Kala system to settle decades-old scores with the Tyrant and his allies. Secessionist supply convoys came under massive assaults by suicidally maddened orcoid starships, stretching thin the supply chains between the Endymion Cluster and Bedab itself. This ultimately came to a head at Endymion, where the Xenos clashed with the Mantis Warriors. An estimated 20,000 strong orc horde breached system defenses to land planet-side, slaughtering the garrison on hand and forcing the Mantis Warriors to launch an immediate counter-invasion, lest they lose the world. A massive and rapid-moving land battle emerged, with Astartes armor engaging ramshackle Xenos buggies, tanks, and walkers on the dust plains of Orella. The Astartes succeeded in baiting the orcs, engaging in font attacks to pull elements of the horde out from the hole, before ultimately subjecting them to punitive strafing runs by gunship squadrons. Though a secessionist victory in the end, Huron was reportedly enraged that the Mantis Warriors had left such a core system vulnerable to such a seemingly inconsequential foe. But, as dire as the breach in the lines was, a far greater threat was emerging from the warp-tainted world of Magog. Upon this planet, cultic forces aligned the dark powers of primordial annihilation, previously subjected to an unsuccessful exterminatus campaign, forced Huron to redeploy his subordinate, Corian Sumatris, from the front lines alongside two whole companies of Astral Claws and Terminators from the Lamenters' first company. The extermination of the cults of Magog was a costly one, with Astartes' casualties running high thanks to the foul sorceries employed by the warped magisters they fought. Huron, however, dubbed it necessary. Had Magog been allowed to fester further, a new front could have potentially been opened in the conflict. As 907 M41 unfolded, inquisitorial investigations were continuously conducted in the background of these Astartes clashes. The Ordos had many unanswered questions, and sought resolutions to them quite doggedly. A startling revelation emerged following the surrender of the Astral Claws forces at the relief of Cerengrad. An interrogation of a captured secessionist apothecary revealed that the Astartes was not an astral claw at all, but in fact a member of the Tiger Claws chapter, long thought lost. This information, immediately sealed under the highest writ by Legate Frayne, prompted the Ordos to dispatch as many inquisitorial kill teams and covert Astartes forces as they could into other reaches of the Maelstrom Zone to pursue any leads on this revelation. These investigations uncovered a hitherto unrevealed heresy committed by Huron. The tyrant had withheld gene seed records from the Ordo Sicarius and the Mechanicus Biologius to disguise efforts that he was making to save the Tiger Claws by subsuming them into his own chapter. This was compounded by an even greater sin. Denied the reinforcements he had believed necessary to defend the Maelstrom Zone, Huron had expanded the Astral Claws' numbers far in excess of those mandated by the Codex Astartes. It appeared that, in the years prior to the secession, Huron's goal had been, essentially, to create a Space Marine Legion of old, a force that could reckon with the Legiones Astartes of the Great Crusade and Horus Heresy. Historators have posited that doing so would have satisfied Huron's deeply held egotistical desire to prove his own convictions to the rest of the Imperium. By his leadership, the Maelstrom Zone could be scourged clean of filth, and a brand new Imperial realm secured. Of course, these plans had been stymied. Despite the staggering buildup of secessionist forces, the showdown with the Imperium had come far too early, and dragged the tyrant into a wholly different war from the one he had been preparing for. Suddenly, the attrition rates amongst secessionist chapters were cast into a new light. The grim arithmetic of casualty rates now made sense. Huron had disguised his accumulation of power well. He had spread the Astral Claws thin across a vast volume of space to disguise their true numbers. Imperial commanders were now aware of just why the chapter seemed to be consistently engaging loyalist elements in quantities that appeared impossible to maintain. Further investigation revealed yet more horrors. To speed up the recruitment and ascension of Astartes to their chapter, the Astral Claws were engaged in heretical tampering of the gene science of the God Emperor, experimenting with rapid zygote cultivation that was wholly prohibited under the Lex Imperialis. Here was yet another reason for withholding their gene seed records. It would have been obvious to any Mechanicus Biologus or student of Astartes physiology that the genetic sequencing of their materials had been tampered with, and by the clumsy hands of those possessed with a misplaced confidence. Inquisitorial estimates delivered to High Command placed the Astral Claws as having a standing force of, accounting for losses thus far, some 3,500 Astartes. Given the scale of the tyrant's heresies, and the conflict he had plunged the Imperium into, Legate Frayne took the ultimate step. He condemned the Astral Claws as excommunicat traitoris, the highest form of censure possible. Cast forever from the Emperor's light, the only fate the Claws could now claim was death in his name. The other Maelstrom warders were placed under extreme suspicion. No evidence had been uncovered that they had benefited from Huron's machinations, but investigations would continue. Legate Frayne's declaration fundamentally altered the Badab War. The pall of secrecy descended upon the volume. Ordo Hereticus and Schola Progenium Tempestus forces were deployed in greater numbers to investigate recaptured populations and ensure loyalty. But for the Astartes, this was no longer a war of internal divisions. It was one of extermination. Heretic in the eyes of the Emperor, Huron's fate was now sealed. The full extent of his heresy would be rooted out one way or another. This video and this channel were made possible thanks to the very kind donations and support from my Patreon subscribers. If you'd like to help support the channel, head on over to patreon.com/oculusimperia. If you'd like to receive more updates about the channel and any future videos, you can contact me or follow me on Twitter at Oculus Imperia. Otherwise, please like, subscribe, comment, let me know your feedback, and as ever, thank you very much for watching.